When a man is made bishop, one of the first decisions he has to make is what will be his episcopal model, the motto, the saying, usually a Latin phrase taken from scripture that will kind of, you know, maybe summarize in a nutshell his time as a bishop. And so, for example, Bishop Kimmy, his episcopal motto is humilitas, humility. Bishop Brungardt of Dodge City, his episcopal motto is filled with compassion, taken from the story of the prodigal son. You know, the father saw the son at a distance, and it was filled with compassion. And in the seminary, guys will joke around back and forth about, hey, if you're named bishop, what's going to be your episcopal motto? And, you know, they'll talk back and forth about it. And somebody asked me that one time, and I thought about it, and I said, well, mine would probably come from John, this Gospel of John, John 21, verse 3. Peter said, I'm going fishing. I absolutely love this gospel. One of my favorite gospel passages in all of Scripture. This is the scene on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Peter and this dialogue between Peter and Jesus. So let's set the stage a little bit. What's going on here? So this is immediately after the resurrection. Jesus has appeared a couple of times to the disciples. And so they're still in the upper house, the upper room, right? He appears to them. And Peter at this point he still very much remembers his denial of Christ, his threefold denial of Jesus. He was not there at the crucifixion. He denied Jesus and left him, abandoned him. And so we are here kind of at the scene. Imagine yourself in the upper room and Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what's familiar. I'm going back to what I already know. He was a fisherman by trade and he went back to what was familiar. And a lot of the disciples came with him. And John tells us that there they were on the sea fishing all night and they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Their efforts were fruitless. And then Jesus, as we had heard earlier when he called them the first time, told them, well, set your nets over there. And they caught this abundant fish. They recognized the Lord. Peter can't wait to get back to shore. So he jumps out of the boat and swims while the rest kind of come in the boat, right? And then there's this dialogue, this back and forth between Peter and Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Now, in the Greek, it's lost in English because in English we have the word love, right? Love can mean a thousand different things, but in the Greek they had four different words for love. And the commentators will tell you that there's two different words being used here for love. Peter, do you love me? Agape. A self-sacrificing love. It's a kind of love that you give your life. It's a kind of love that is for the sake of the other. Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter responds with philios. It's a brotherly kind of love, a warm affection, a camaraderie. Lord, you know I philios. You know I love you. Jesus asks a second time, Peter, do you agape me? Lord, I philios, I have this brotherly love for you. I abandon you. And then the third time, Jesus drops down. Okay, Peter, do you philios me? He kind of drops the bar a little bit. And that's when the gospel, John tells us, Peter was distressed. He was disturbed that the bar had been dropped. Yes, Lord. I philios you. I love you like a brother. There's this kind of dialogue, but the response of Jesus is what I find to be most propelling, most compelling about this gospel. Peter, do you love me? Are you willing to die for me? Lord, I love you like a brother. And yet Jesus still says, feed my lambs. Jesus knows full well that Peter is weak. He knows that he's abandoned him. He knows his betrayal. He knows who Peter is. And yet he still entrusts him with the care of his sheep. Now place yourself in Peter's shoes for a moment. Be Peter for a second. And be charged with that responsibility. To be recommissioned. That's quite a tall order, I think. But apply this to you today, right now. Go for a moment to the birth of your first child. Holding that baby, do you remember the responsibility, the awe and wonder, why did God choose me to protect this child, to raise this child? Why did he put me here? Why is he telling me, feed my lambs? Or a spouse, brother, sister, significant other. Your job as a husband or as a wife is to get your spouse and your family to heaven. And on that day of your wedding, he said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep to you. And guess what? You failed. By your own strength, you are simply not capable of fulfilling that task, that role. If you go out fishing at night by yourself, you're not going to catch anything. And Jesus said as much when he said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. But in this gospel today, so many times, God has asked me specifically when I prayed with this, Curtis, do you love me? Do you love me enough to die for me? And I haven't always been able to answer yes, that agape love. And that was my struggle for the longest time in seminary. How much do I love the Lord? Am I willing to put him first? Am I willing to actually act on that? To seek first the kingdom like he told us, and everything else will be added to us. And for you as a mother, father, husband, wife, or even for you as a child who's trying to live according to God's law, are you putting God first? Can you answer that question? Do I love you enough to die for you? Do I love you enough to make you the most important aspect of my life? And it's only through answering that question, and even if we can't say yes, he's still willing to come to our level, reach down and bring us along, because it's not our strength. It's not us who is saying yes. It's not us who achieve the raising of a family, the bringing our family to God, or even bringing our own poor soul to God. It's God's strength. Without me, you could do nothing. The brothers and sisters, it's a tall order that Jesus asks of Peter in today's gospel, to feed the sheep, feed his lambs. And he asks the same of us today. My question to you is Christ at the center of your life? Is that really how you're trying to lead your family, to guide your children? Or are you relying on your own strength? That's ultimately really the difference between following God according to his will and according to ours. Let's make God the center of our lives. Let's make time for God. If you're too, as Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're not leading your family in prayer, how are you leading them to God? Let's make that our response to God. Feed my lambs. Let's feed them. Let's feed our families, those who are closest to us.